Of course, this is kind of obvious, right? God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through his word. We all know this. But actually, did you know that there are people that don't believe this is the very words of God? Even Christians, they think this is just a historical text. They think this is just something to be read like any other historical document, to be analyzed, to be critiqued, to write papers on it, and they don't literally take it as God's very words speaking to us. So therefore, they don't really pay attention to 2 Timothy 3:16. Do you guys know what 2 Timothy 3:16 says? It says, all scripture, all of this, every single word, is God breathed, which means they're God's word, right? And it's profitable, it's powerful, it's useful in correction, in teaching us, in making us more like God, more holy, more righteous. Also, in Hebrews 4:12, it says this word is also a double-edged sword. Have you guys seen swords before? Normally, swords are only sharp on one side, so you can only cut one way. But if a sword is sharp on both sides, you can cut in multiple ways. And the point of that is that God's word is so powerful that from every angle, from every context, that it has power to penetrate lives, to go to hearts. We know this because of Genesis. In Genesis, do you remember how God created everything in Genesis? God spoke, right? God said that there be light, and there was light. Yeah, so you guys can talk too. God said that there be land, and there was. God said that there be animals, and there was. And God said that there be man, and there was. And women, of course. We want to be inclusive, right? Okay, so as you can see, when God speaks, this is not just in Genesis, but throughout all of the Old Testament and throughout all of history, when God speaks, things are either created or things are destroyed or fall. From the Tower of Babel on forward, we know this. Remember, Babel fell apart. Nations rose because of God's word, and nations fell because of God's word. So God's word has power, and God speaks through his word. Now let's read a passage that will take us to the second point. If you have your Bibles with me, let's go to this passage. I want to read it word for word because it's so important. Hebrews chapter 1. I'll read the NIV version. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. So God speaks through prophets, through people. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he had inherited is superior to theirs. So this is the word of God. God spoke. But God doesn't just speak through his word. Oh, it's right here. God speaks through his Son, or through people, through prophets from the Old Testament, all the way now to Jesus. And that's why we're here, right? That's the reason, that's why we have decorations like lights, trees. The reason for the season is, although these things can be distracting, is because of Jesus. And that's why I'm so thankful for Pastor James, because on Friday, that's exactly what he reminded us all of. That, you know, it's so easy during this time. There's so many things on our minds, right? What's on our minds? Family. You know, people are getting together. Maybe gifts, shopping. Maybe you guys are buying gifts for people. Maybe money. Maybe, what else do you guys think about? Any ideas, anything else on your minds? Education? Vacation. Okay. Did I hear warm water? Warm weather. Okay. Snow. Yeah. So we don't like the snow. It's been snowing a lot this past week or so. But the kids like it because they got a snow day. So. So yeah. So we need to be reminded, right? Constantly. Not just now, but at all times of Jesus and what he's done for us. You see, God speaks through his word, and you see his power, right? Because he creates things and he destroys things through his word. But now when God speaks through Jesus, he speaks a little bit softer, I guess you could say, a little bit more tenderly, because he speaks a message of love. Through Jesus, God is saying, I love you. And see, this concept of love and saying I love you is, in our Chinese culture, is a little bit awkward, right? I don't know, me growing up, I never really heard that from my parents. And I don't know, I never really said it to my parents as well. And so it's kind of weird to say I love you and to hear, you know, from God. It's a little weird, because normally in our culture, right, we express our love by not by words usually, but by what we do, right? Like, I do this. Or maybe we say it not directly, but we say it, like, indirectly. I saw a video that says the mom says I love you by constantly asking, have you eaten yet? Or are you hungry? Okay, that's in translated to I love you, you know, because she wants to take care of, you know, her kid and stuff like that. So, but yeah, but even here, God demonstrates his love, right? He doesn't just say it. He gives us Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Jesus took our place. We should have died. We should have been punished for our sin. But God gave us Jesus, and he took that punishment. So God not only says, I love you, throughout the whole Bible, but God shows it to us through Jesus this much, right? You've seen that? You know, people ask you, how much does God love? Like this much, and he died on the cross. That love in Ephesians is so deep, so wide. I don't know if you've heard that verse about the God's love. So deep, so wide, so long. That love of God to us is the most powerful love that ever existed, that could ever exist. Like, think about the love in this room, okay? There's families in here, right? There's families, there's kids. I'm sure there's lots of love in here, from between parents and children and vice versa, between maybe each other and stuff like that. Think about the great love that you have for those people. The love here surpasses even that. So God speaks through his word, and God speaks through his son. But we're going to go to the third way. Don't go there yet. Hold on, give me a sec. I'm trying to find my place. Okay. So this is how we're going to figure out. Let's do a little pop quiz. This is very simple. Because we read this verse twice, right, at the beginning. Remember those, we read the same thing twice. Do you remember what it says? How does, based on that, in Joel or in Acts, how does God speak to us now? Through, what comes? What comes? Okay, let me help you out, okay? So, in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, Jesus tells his disciples that one day I'm going to be gone. One day I'm going to be gone, but I'm going to give you something too. And we read about that in Joel. We read about it in Acts. And if you look at John 14, 16, you read about it again. And that is the Holy Spirit. And in John 14 and 16, that Holy Spirit is referred to as the Counselor, as someone that counsels, that helps you, right? It can be translated comforter as well. So we can go to the next one, which is the last one, about how God speaks through His Spirit, or the Holy Spirit. And this is the one that I want to spend the most time on, because it's perhaps the most controversial, the most misunderstood, the most less talked about, perhaps. At least in our circles, in our churches. But perhaps in other churches and other places, they love talking about this. So that's what I ended up doing this past year or so. I went to visit some of these churches and talk to some of these people and kind of try to understand why they focus so much on the Holy Spirit. Do you know what they're called, these people, these Christians? Any idea? There's usually two words that are used to refer to these people. Either Pentecostals or Charismatics. Okay? And so I end up going to some of these churches. Pastor Alvin, I don't know if you know him. He's the Indian guy that brings a lot of Chinese students here. I don't know how he finds them, but they stay at his home. You know, they're either exchange students or they're here on business trip. His church I visited recently, also Pastor James visited. And we saw a little bit different flavor of worship and how they do things. They're speaking in tongues, there's healings, the worship is very lively and integrated almost with the message. It's very different than our flavor or our style of service. And these people are also a little bit different because they're always constantly like praying and constantly like prophesying in some sense. And actually, like, some of them even talked to me and prophesied over me and told me, you know, what they saw in my future. And all of this might seem a little crazy to you, right? But, I mean, if you believe in Acts, if it happened then, it should happen today. It could happen today, right? And what happened was I actually invited some of these people here. Do remember, my last sermon, I believe, up here, I invited some people from Love Detroit, which is a movement, a program that they were doing, outreaching in Detroit. So I invited some of them. They were sitting like over here. There were probably about four or five of them. And after the service, after I taught, one of them came up, Daniel, and he told you guys about what they're doing in Detroit, you know, asking to see if you guys want to get involved, help out in any way. But then, do you remember what he said? But then he said he sensed something. He sensed that in this room, there were some people that were sick or in need of healing. He said a few things. I still remember this. He said, okay, one person is having some kind of arm thing or wrist thing was hurting. Another person was having some kind of back problem or back pain. And then another person with some kind of lung issue. And so he said he sensed that, and he said, okay, after the service, please come see us. And we would like to pray for you. Pray for healing. And that's exactly what happened, which When he said that, I was like, I don't know if that's true or not. But then actually people started coming up. There was someone with back pain. There was someone lung. I don't know if all these people came up, but I believe the person with the wrist or the arm was fully healed. And the back pain was partially, the pain went down at least a little bit. And so from that, I'm like, wow. So I guess maybe these people had the gift of healing. But it's pretty miraculous, pretty cool to me about how that can happen even at a more conservative, evangelical type church like us. Okay, whew. Now we're getting a little bit to more personal, I guess. So in John 14, it talks about how the Holy Spirit is our counselor. And it can also be translated comforter. So we feel comfort from God, right? But also, I'm sure you guys have had questions or wanted God to help you make decisions in life, right? Like maybe you didn't know what to do with this situation, or maybe you didn't know why this was happening, or maybe you don't know, you know, what school to go to, or stuff like that. So for me, what I've been, I guess, seeking the Holy Spirit's counsel and comfort and help in all these years I've been here is one thing. Whether I should do this forever. So when I started here end of May of 2011. And long story, basically I felt called, or God called me, he talked to me, which is kind of crazy, my senior year of college, and eventually I got here, and I start seminary in the beginning of 2012. But through this time, right, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. So at seminary, guess what I did? I was looking at my class schedule. I was in the MDiv program, which is a long program, 90-some credit hours. It's what most pastors have, the MDiv degree, Masters of Divinity. And I was looking at it. I was like, wow, this is going to take a long time. I don't know if I want to, you know, commit to this. And so then I saw that there's also a graduate certificate, okay, which is about 30 credit hours. And I was like, let's take those classes first. So that, you know, if I don't finish, I'll still get something out of it. I'll get a graduate certificate in biblical studies. Not bad, right? So that's what I ended up doing these years from 2012 to 2014. And of course, during that time, I also was, you know, serving here, teaching the youth and leading them and all that good stuff. But then in 2014, I took a trip with my family to China for 3 weeks in the summer. And I don't know what you guys saw, but I wanted to use this trip as like a little mini Sabbath, I guess you could say, where I can just really connect with God and for Him to tell me whether I should do this, keep doing this, or do something else. And so but it's kind of hard because obviously you're constantly distracted by China, the whole like fast-paced lifestyle. You're with your family or your relatives all the time, and you don't really have time to really kind of, you know, reflect and spend too much time with God, especially with all these other voices kind of coming at you. And especially my sister, like I'm very close with both of my siblings, but my sister, who's the older one, she was crying one night, and she was kind of sad that she's worried about my dad's health. You know, they're getting older, and she's like, oh, she wishes she could, you know, support them when she gets older. But she's a teacher, so she's not going to be making that much money, right? So she's not going to be able to support them. So I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. So I was like, oh, maybe God's like telling me something. Maybe it's like, oh, it's time for me to leave the ministry and find a real job, right? And make more money. So eventually I can support my parents. So that's what I ended up believing. So 2004 summer, in the 2004, beginning 2005, January, I have a meeting with some of our church leaders, Pastor Jacob, Elder Sao Ming, who I don't know if he's here, but and Elder Jerry, I don't know if he's here as well. But anyways, I still remember the exact place that we sat at Panera Bread. It was an interesting meeting. But I basically was just telling them, you know, I don't know if I have all these other interests and all these other thoughts. I have another ministry, Pearl, with young adults. And I have bivocational dreams. In other words, I was like, maybe I can do both. Maybe I can be like Superman and be like, oh, I can do, find a 40-hour full-time job out there and also serve in ministry and be like some of the co-workers, the deacons, and the elders here, because they devote a lot of time to their own job, of course, and to their families and also to church. So I was like, maybe I can just be like one of them. I can still make an impact, right? I can still serve God that way. So then in 2005, they received that, right, the message, the leaders, and they're like, okay, we need to plan for Young's departure eventually. And so that's when word started to circulate that I'm leaving, and then I'm getting to the students, and I'm hearing from the students, they're like, oh, you're leaving? I'm like, it's not that simple. And so during this time, I was, you know, applying to just some random jobs out there that are similar to my old job at the Census Bureau, you know, managing people or managing operations, survey operations, or looking at data, you know, stuff like that. And didn't really get any offers. So in that process, I was like kind of really wrestling with God, right? And the Holy Spirit. I was like, God, direct me. Like, if this is where you want to go, open some doors. Or if you want me to stay here, like, you know, give me some clarity. And that came in a weird kind of way. So early on this year, this is kind of funny. I started dating this girl, okay? And she said she doesn't like this whole like wishy-washiness. So I'm sorry too for the church leaders that I've been kind of wishy-washy. I don't even know if you guys know what that means, but it means like back and forth. And so she, of course, didn't like that. She's like, oh, you got to figure out your life. So we're going to take a month off so you can do that. I was like, no, I can't stand that. See you for a month. So what I ended up doing was I negotiated, right? I was like, how about once a week? How about we can see each other once a week? And apparently that wasn't enough as well. So what happened was one Sunday after church, I was listening to the radio, 103.5. Did you know that on that channel on Sundays now, that they play worship music all day? And they didn't pay me to say that. But anyway, so, and then I heard the song, okay, on the way. So normally what I do is after church, I drive either to my mom's place to hang out with my mom and my brother, or I hang out with my friends usually, you know, drive, and they're usually doing something like eating or something. So I'm driving and the song comes up, and I want to, can you go next slide? And is the audio plugged in? I want to show you and play for you this song that came up on the radio when I was driving after church. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that song came on the radio, and I was really kind of worshiping to it, right? And telling God, you know, really singing these words to him. And I felt like, okay, maybe the Holy Spirit is trying to say something. And I didn't drive to my destination. I instead drove to Salvation Army on Auburn and John R. I don't know if you guys know where that is, but on Sunday afternoon, early evening, the parking lot is basically empty. And so I drive in there, the song finishes, and I'm just praying, right? Praying that God will speak, and that the Holy Spirit might come and give me some kind of counsel and direction. And I did hear a few things. The first was the struggle that I've been talking about between working a regular job and doing full-time ministry. God said, embrace it. Because it's always been a battle, because I'm like, oh man, I don't like this. But God said, embrace it, because it's going to be a lifelong struggle. And it's like his grace. You know, in Paul, there was a thorn, right, on Paul's side. And Paul wanted God to take it away. But God says no, because it's a form of grace to him, because Paul said, my grace will be sufficient. My power is perfected in weakness. And so that's the first thing I felt like God was saying, is embrace the struggle. And it makes sense, right? Because if I'm here, I'm thinking, oh, could I be doing something else? And like before, when I was at the Census Bureau working full-time, I was thinking, could I like do ministry full-time? So it makes sense. Like where I'm at, there's always the thought that, you know, what if life was like this? So it makes sense to be okay with that, you know, to see that as a gift from God. And the second thing that God kind of showed me was, it was a rainy time and it was kind of cloudy. But then, like, during this time, God kind of parted the clouds and the sun kind of shone through. And then God's like, look at the sun. And then God also reminded me my name. My name is Young, right? And in Chinese, that means the sun. And so God's like, shows me the sun, shows me my name, right? And then God told me something. God's like, look at yourself. Look at your own heart, okay? Like the song says, kind of, you know, giving our hearts to God. Look, but then God's like, look at your own heart. And then God asked me a question, like, what does your heart beat for? Like, what makes your heart beat, I guess? And then I was just thinking, I was like, I guess I like to help people. I guess I want to help people, you know, be better or to grow or to know Jesus. Or to just, I guess, live life in a more full way. And so God was then like, there you go. And then I was like, trying to figure out what that means. And then I was like, what's the best way? What's the best way to help people based on my faith, right? In Jesus. And then this is the best way. Not just here in front of you all talking to you. But also, what even helps me or makes me even more excited is when I connect with people on a more personal level, right? When I try to hear their lives and help them by, you know, gathering that kind of information and understanding who they are and stuff like that. And so, after these revelations and after, you know, really, like, you know, tears, and I was just in tears, I was just so, like, happy and connected with the Spirit, I get a phone call, and it's somebody that I know, perhaps the girl, and then, you know, it's funny how it interrupted or finished my session to go and kind of tell her all the stuff that has happened and what I decided to do. So All these things I talked about today, I don't know if you see kind of the progression. God speaks through his word, and that's kind of like God the Father. So we're talking about the Trinity now, right? God the Father, he speaks and he creates. He has all this power, right? But then God the Son comes. In John 1, what does it say? The word became flesh. So God starts to speak a little bit more intimately by coming to us as a human, right? Coming to our level and connecting with us and dying for us and loving us that way. But then God goes from God like over us or around us to God with us, right? Jesus to God within us, the Holy Spirit. And that is the most intimate connection. That's what opens our eyes and our hearts to him, to Jesus, to these things that I talk about where I spend time with him and I try to figure out what he's trying to say to me in my life. It's not just for me, it's for all you too. You guys have the same access to the Holy Spirit, to God, to Jesus, like I do. You guys can do the exact same. God wants to speak to you in the same way that God speaks to me and connects with me. And so, this is all to say that next year, I just want to announce that I'll be going back to seminary. I've applied to Moody and Fuller, and I'm going to continue on my seminary education. I'm going to finish my MDiv, and I'm going to continue on this direction. And therefore, I want to devote more of my time to be a full-time student there, so I won't be here anymore. And that's what makes this sermon and this announcement so difficult. And so, let me pray for us real quick, and then I have some closing words or some final thoughts to everyone, okay? Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit. We believe that what is true for the early church, what Peter said about what Joel said about when your spirit comes, you give us visions, give us dreams, even your lowly servants are in touch with you and see the beauty and magnificence of who you are through your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we trust that you will continue to comfort us, to counsel us, to help us through your Spirit. There's so many things that we perhaps worry about or are scared about, Lord, at this time, during this season of our lives. And so, Lord, we need you so much to speak into those things. Holy Spirit, guide us and help us to know what you want us to do. And so, Lord, we're just so thankful that you've given us your Spirit. We want to be more sensitive, Lord. Help us to be more sensitive and in tune to what it says, to how it moves, to how it calls us to see you as Lord, like we talked about a few weeks ago, where we give up everything, where everything is second place to you, Lord, because you are our Lord. You are more important than anything else in our lives, even our families, even. Oh, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, may you blow into our lives if it's not there already, and may you speak. Lord, we are listening. Help us to listen to your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so my final remarks. I have a letter, or I guess some words to say to all the parents first, okay? To all the parents / adults in the room. I want to say something to you. By the way, pray for me. it's hard to be in my shoes, I guess, so to speak. I mean, it's hard to be in anybody's shoes, but I have a unique circumstance where I have to almost fight against the culture in some sense. Not only Satan, of course, who's after me and after all of us, but the culture and all the things that lead me towards, I guess, doubt and fear and stuff like that. So prayer, for me, is the best way to support me. So I really appreciate if you could continue to pray for me throughout my whole journey. And but anyways, I want to read this verbatim to, this is what I wrote for the parents and adults in this room. I don't know if you realize this, but I see you all as my spiritual fathers and mothers. Since my parents are not that deeply integrated into the church, like any good child, I want to make you proud and happy. I want to honor and respect your perspective and advice. I want to help you understand who I am, my hopes and fears. I want to share my victories and defeats with you. I want you to thank God that He has blessed you with me. On behalf of us second generation children, please open up to us. We know you love us because you provide for our needs. We know you love us because you want what's best for us. We know you love us because you want us to be happy and healthy. But we need to know that you like us. That you like the little things that define who we are. That we make you laugh, that we make you cry. That you like us for us. Not just for what we do or fail to do. I know it's hard for you to be vulnerable and share your feelings because you are supposed to be our strong rock and leader. But we know you are just as human as we are, that you have hopes and fears, victories and defeats, just like us. And it's okay. It's okay if you can't. We know it's just not the way you were raised, and that's okay. We have a hard time being vulnerable too. So let's embrace this beautiful struggle together as it brings us closer to Jesus. And now, I have some words for the students. The kids. It has been an honor to be your pastor, friend, and brother. I was actually ready for this. No, thank you. I will never forget the times that we had together. Sometimes my teachings or ideas were pretty good, and sometimes not so much. Sometimes your behavior and attitude was pretty good, and sometimes not so much. But it's okay. Don't worry about that too much. I was in your shoes not too long ago. I would have probably acted up or gotten too excited at times as well. I do want you to know that even though I was your teacher, you guys have taught me so much as well. You guys taught me how to use apps like Instagram and Snapchat. You guys have shared with me what your thoughts were of different things going on in society, your lives, and what you thought about the youth group. And for that, I am forever grateful. Thank you for opening up your life to me, for allowing me to lead and teach you better because of that. Thank you for believing in me, for encouraging me, for praying for me, and helping me since I had no idea what I was doing most of the time, since I'd never done this before. Thank you for helping me understand your parents from your perspective better. I want you to know, like Jesus did to his disciples, that I'm preparing a place for you. You might not realize this now, but we have been given a gift by God. We get to be both Chinese and American. I believe God will use this gift to the fullest extent for his glory, and I intend to spend my life figuring out how that's done. So thank you all, and I love you much. Thank you.